going to talk now about a proposed law that's actually in committee in the Senate, which attempts to address the loss of life that took place on the Transocean rig that exploded and caused the whole BP oil disaster a year ago. 11 people, of course, lost their lives on that Transocean rig. But we're going to begin this conversation with Neil Cortaro, who's an attorney at Watson, Farley & Williams, an adjunct associate professor at Columbia University School of International and Public Affairs. Neil, good morning.
Good morning.
So before we get into the specific issue of Transocean, there is a long tradition of sailors going down to the sea in ships with the expectation that it's a dangerous place. These are dangerous jobs. And the investment in ships and cargo needs to be protected from some idea that everybody gets compensated. You knew the job was dangerous when you took it. Describe the sort of culture of maritime law that attempts to limit damages on ships.
Well, I think you've sort of identified the key issues. Shipping is a capital-intensive business. I mean, when I speak to students at SEPA, I often reference The Merchant of Venice, which sort of is a play really about this exact concept of going to the sea and going abroad and trying to trade and make money. It is, by its nature, dangerous. And certainly, sort of sitting here in Manhattan, we don't always appreciate it. But if one goes down to Battery Park, for example, there's a large memorial with hundreds of names on it for merchant mariners who sailed from New York and never returned. By its nature, going out into the ocean is a dangerous business. And even today, we often forget a serious commercial vessel, an ocean-going commercial vessel, is generally lost at sea every 3 days, even today.
Now, you know, in a modern industrial economy, though, where safety issues are definitely of concern on the factory floor, is it wrong to say that this has morphed in the 21st century to being a license for companies to limit damages, to protect themselves, and to basically take no or less responsibility for the safety of their workers simply because the sea is a dangerous place, you knew the job was dangerous when you took it, you know, you're on your own?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. The Limitation of Liability Act, which is really what Senator Rockefeller is trying to amend, there are some carry-on pieces that try and amend the Death on the High Seas Act and the Jones Act, but sort of the primary focus is amending the Limitation of Liability Act. And that certainly does sort of hark back, I believe, to 1851 when it was passed. But the underlying sort of issue here is you've got to encourage people to invest in shipping, and it is a dangerous business. And the ability of a ship owner to limit their liability, it's very far from absolute. The statute requires knowledge or exempts a casualty that's caused with the knowledge and privity of the owner. And we've had a pretty spectacular example right here in New York, and that was the Andrew J. Barbary.
The Staten Island Ferry that crashed.
That's correct. And the city wanted to limit liability in that case, and the ferry was only worth about $7 million, which probably would have maybe been enough to satisfy one of the wrongful death claims.
But the extreme negligence in that case changed the nature of how those claims were compensated.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, let's listen to the voice of Shelley Anderson here, who's a widow of Jason Anderson, who died on the Deepwater Horizon. That's the Transocean rig that has motivated this legislative change that you've talked about. She's testifying in front of the Senate Committee of Commerce, Science, and Transportation this month.
He's everything. He's the breath in my lungs. He's the beat of my heart. He's the skip in my step and the dances that we shared together. All it's all gone.
Talking about her husband who died on the Transocean rig Deepwater Horizon that began the BP oil disaster a year ago. Are floating oil rigs ships, technically, are they more like factories and maybe should be treated in that way? And is that what Senator Rockefeller is trying to address here?
Well, I don't think that's really what he's trying to address. I think there is a perception in the case of the Deepwater Horizon that certainly the survivors, the families in particular, may somehow be shortchanged by the Limitation of Liability Act. And first, you know, I would say it's It's very difficult for anybody who suffered a tragic loss like that. And of course, my heart, like that of all Americans, goes out to the widows and the survivors. And there's no amount of money at the end of the day that can make them whole.
But is that really the issue? Maybe the issue is more if her husband had died in a refinery accident just, you know, offshore in Louisiana or onshore in Louisiana, the compensation scheme would be very, very different than being on the Transocean rig.
Well, perhaps. Well, certainly so. But in this particular case, there's a very large fund that's been set up for victims and their families. And certainly, according to some of the recent press I've seen, some of those lawsuits, I believe slightly over half of the death of the wrongful death lawsuits have been settled. They're being settled apparently at very high dollar values. Figures as high as $20 million have been reported. And I would suggest that that is probably well in excess of what you would have had even in a potentially in a state court jury trial.
So you're saying the compensation claims are probably fair and that it would be wrong to change this law based on this particular event before we go?
Yes, I'm always nervous about a law that tries to retroactively find liability and provide benefits like this.
All right, talking about the Limitation of Liability Act and the changes proposed for maritime ship investors based on the Transocean fatalities, 11 people dying on that Transocean rig that exploded, causing the BP oil disaster. Neil Quartaro is an attorney at Wills Watson, Farley & Williams, an adjunct associate professor at Columbia University School of International and Public Affairs. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.